We begin tonight's studies with the reading of Psalms 90. And we will try to read from verse 1 to verse number 12. This psalm, Psalm 90, is a psalm written by Moses that the children of Israel would use whenever they go to the house of worship. So let me read from Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou didst form the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as sheep. Sorry. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Verse 11 of Psalm 90. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That is a reading from the Psalm of Moses, Psalm 90, and verse 1 to verse number 12. Praise God. In our lessons of the past several weeks, we were identifying some of the characteristics of our God, his nature. We understand him, we know him, and love him when we see who he really is and what his power has been doing for us. So by identifying the characteristics of God, we learn more about him, and we will be attached and attracted to him even with a greater love. By way of a brief review, we pointed out that God is omnipotent. He's almighty. He's all-powerful. There is nothing, there is no one mightier, stronger, and greater than he is. He is omnipotent. Secondly, reviewing, we consider the fact that God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere at one and the same time, so that no one is ever far away from him. He is present everywhere at the same time. Thirdly, we learned God is omniscient, knowing all things, everything. There are absolutely no secrets as far as he is concerned. Everything is naked, open, and bare before him with whom we have to deal. He is all-knowing, no secrets. In the fourth place, we saw that God is holy. That is, he is absolutely perfect, without any flaws, without any sin, and he is incapable of sin. He is God, thrice holy. Whenever they report to him, you see references to him in the scriptures many times. It says, holy, holy, holy. He is thrice holy, perfect. In the fifth place, we have noted God is love. His love is strong. It is enduring. And it extends to all, yes, all men, women, and children, boys and girls, of all ages, everywhere. Just say aloud John 3:16, and you will see the scope and the extent of God's love. It warmly embraces the world, the whole world, all nations, all peoples, all tribes, all kingdoms. It includes all and excludes none. The gift of God's Son to the world is a gift for all people to share. The good news is all inclusive. Salvation is for all who sinned and came short of the glory of God. God is love. He loves you, even if nobody else does. He does, and will always love you with a love that is strong and a love that is long. Sixth, we have seen God is sovereign. He is the supreme ruler, having supreme authority. None can question his actions and decisions. There is no court that can upturn or overrule his orders. He is sovereign, sovereign Lord. He rules and governs as he pleases. In fact, he does all things according to the counsel of his own will. We read in the book of Ephesians, I believe it was chapter 1 and verse 11. He created all things, and he owns all things. You and I enjoy only user's rights. We must leave all things behind us one day when we have to leave this earth. We have to leave all that we claim to be ours behind, because we own nothing. God owns everything. Now for the seventh step in our studies concerning the character and the nature of our God, we must notice that in addition to all the qualities stated before, God is eternal. In addition to those qualities we outlined before, we must add tonight that God is eternal. We speak about the eternity of God as if the preceding titles of the Almighty were not strong and powerful enough. The scriptures add yet another heavyweight title to him. And what is that? That God is eternal. he has been going on at this high level of excellence from since the time of the beginning. And the glorious thing is he will be continuing this high level of performance, this most lofty ride forward. He will be continuing it nonstop, eternally, unchecked, forever and forever and forever. He is the eternal God. Moses put it best in Psalms 90 and verse number 2. He said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou God has formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Yes, we must agree that God had always existed, even before the mountains were formed, even before the earth on which rests the mountains. God was even before them, before that time. He is the eternally self-existent one. He will continue to exist even forevermore. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us that the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation, Jeremiah 10 and 10. His eternal rule and reign must be considered in contrast to the rule and reign of kings and emperors and lords and prime ministers and masters. I'm thinking of a headline that I heard about a few short years ago. That read, one headline read, President for Life Dies. Well, this would never be and could never be a headline as far as God is concerned. He lives and rules and reigns forever. And he will rule in that position as master and lord and sovereign of every single thing. Yes, ministers, prime ministers, presidents, and world rulers will rule, and they may even feel that their rule will go on forever. They will make no provision for the future, but the day will come when their eyes will close and they will have to lay down the reins of rulership. All, every one of them must leave their throne and relinquish their rulership, for God is in charge. The eternal God is in charge. They will pass. He will rule forever, and he will never be replaced. He cannot be impeached, and he will not resign. And those who attempt to dethrone him will themselves be dethroned. He is eternal. His place is eternal. His position is eternal. He will be ruler forever and ever and ever and ever because he is the King eternal. Any attempt to destroy or to frustrate the counsel of God is doomed to failure. Psalms 33, verses 10 and 11 says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generation, God's plans are forever. His promises will come to pass. It is impossible for him to lie. Verse 12 of Psalm 90 puts man in remembrance of his limited time as against God's time that is eternal. I like this verse so much, and I have loved it for years. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. In other words, we may make each moment of our time make its mark in eternity for our benefit. God is eternal. Man is not. At least on this side of heaven. Time for us here is carefully measured. There's a powerful scripture in Hebrews that says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. That is an appointment that all men must keep, unless the Lord puts in his appearance before. There and here, God's got all the time in both worlds, and much more. His time is a time that never ends. Because he's eternal, the security we have in him is also eternal. Deuteronomy 33:27 is a scripture that I would refer to in a few seconds. But let me tell you this incident. I once had to encourage an 80-year-old grandmother, a believer, who had never experienced flying on an airplane in her whole 80 years of life. She was migrating to another country with her only daughter, her three grandchildren, and her son-in-law. She was very nervous about being up in the air for some 5 hours of flight or more. And I was asked to see what I could do to encourage her. For me, the words did not come easily, because I really didn't know how I could encourage her, or what I could say, or what I could do to put it in the heart of this 80-year-old woman to sit quietly in that plane until she would arrive at her destination. But the Lord is so faithful, as always. And suddenly, this scripture dropped into my heart. Deuteronomy 33:27. It says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The last three words of that text exploded in the soul of this 80-year-old woman. She said, Pastor, is that there? And I read it again. Underneath are the everlasting arms. She became full of faith instantly. She became full of confidence and assurance and was ready to take that step and to make that trip. And it happened for me that the authorities at the airport and at the airlines permitted me as a pastor to accompany this lady and her family to the seat, a first class seat in the airplane. The words that supported her on that trip are words that supported her while she was going to be thousands of feet above the ground. What were those words? Just simply, "And underneath are the everlasting arms." She saw herself as being supported by the everlasting arms of the everlasting God while she was soaring 40,000 feet above the earth. Those arms were everlasting, and those everlasting arms supported that 80-year-old sister in Christ while she sat in that airplane. Gave her those words of encouragement before the plane took off. I stepped out of the aircraft, and we know that that lady arrived at her destination safely. We were in contact for years after that, and I give God the praise for what his word was able to do. Underneath her were the everlasting arms to give her support while she was in space. But she put her faith in what God said in his word, and she made the trip a success and lived in that country years after. The eternal God remained our refuge. Isaiah 26 and 4 challenges us again along the same lines. "Trust in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Another rendering of the last part of that verse is this: "For in the Lord Jehovah is the rock of ages." Let us not be afraid, for our God is eternal in all his benefits and in all his favors to us. Eternal will be their scope. His love and mercy toward us is everlasting while we keep our allegiance to him. He is with us while we are with him. But if we walk away, we have severed connection by our own action. God is love, and he will keep you while the ages roll on, as long as you remain true and faithful to him. The evangelist under whose preaching I was converted in 1959, he used to contribute to a weekly youth magazine. And in one of his lines, he likened the Christian life to a bunch of ripe bananas. And he added, "The moment you leave the bunch, you get skinned and eaten." And he added, "The moral of this story is, stick with the bunch. As long as you stick to and with God, as long as you hold on to him, as long as you follow him intently, as long as you remain, as it were, like a leech onto him. As long as you remain there, you're safe. He can keep you while you are willing to be kept. But if you refuse, if you pull yourself away, if you divorce yourself from him, if you let go of him, there is nothing he can do for you. This is a situation where you are the key, and you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is a situation where you have to cling to the Lord. It reminds me, while I'm looking at the clock, we still have a little time. It reminds me when Paul was on that journey to Rome, and the ship with 276 passengers met with some tragedy. They met with a storm, and then they got struck and stuck in the sand and amid the rock. Paul said something to those people. He said, except these abide in the ship, we cannot be saved. And I say the same to you. Except you abide in Christ, you cannot be saved. You will self-destruct. You will destroy your soul's salvation. The key is abide in Christ. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. And God has nowhere to go. He is the eternal God. And he is there for you and with you. As long as you are for him and with him, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's got all the qualities that are necessary to keep you safe and to preserve you for eternity. He's got all the qualities. People get lost because they pull away and they withdraw themselves from the living God. But you can stay saved as you stick to the Lord and cling to him and never let go. This is the message today. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I look at Psalms 90 once again and read what Moses had to say about the eternal God. God is eternal, and his power is eternal, his love is eternal, and as long as you are with him, he is determined to be with you. We have said enough at this time, so we give you an opportunity to unite your hearts with us in a moment of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that in these quiet moments, decisions will be made for you. And those who are halting between two opinions, those who are thinking of dropping out of the race, those who have made up their minds that they are not going further, I pray in Jesus' name that you will touch their hearts and give them the faith and the courage and the power to press on and to follow on and never let go. We ask your blessing on those who have committed themselves to you. Continue to strengthen them every day, every moment, and even now, help them to be strong in you and in the power of your might. Thank you for this word tonight, and thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is encouraging us to draw close to the living God. Father, we thank you and thank you and thank you again and again, because you've given us such opportunity so that we can learn more about you. Thank you for everyone who has been on this line tonight. Lord, you know their need. You know the cry of their heart. I ask that you will do a work in them, for them, and through them, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, to God be the glory. We want to thank you for being with us and for listening to these words of life. Remember, the Lord is eternal. Times may change, people will change, seasons will change, the world will change, but not so with the Lord. He changes not. He will remain eternal and everlasting, and nothing he starts, he will be unable to finish. Whatever he started in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, God be praised. Thank you for listening.